this nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline in the dollar.
Lack of a better word.
The late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most-respected money show on the radio. I'm Troy Harmon here with Jennifer Thomas, 2 weeks in a row.
That's right.
As well as Jarrett McKenzie. Both are certified financial planners, both work in our planning and implementation department. Jennifer actually is the boss of the,
that's
of the
right.
group.
That's so, right, boss lady.
Jared, make sure you're on your best behavior.
I'm watching you, Jared.
She sits right, right next to me, so I gotta stay on top of my game.
Ever present, yes, the force in your life.
That's right.
All right, guys. So, anything crazy happen in the market? Maybe a Dow 20,000?
Maybe so.
Big day.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was. I really had expected that to hit in the fall, and then we saw, you know, for whatever reason. Market conditions did not push the Dow over 20,000, but earnings season seems to have done just exactly that.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, while a lot of folks have credited our new president with a lot of things, I really think that the piece that took to get the Dow over 20,000 was some positive earnings.
And don't you see a lot of times in the market where there's that ceiling and the market will, you know, what for whatever reason, like it's the 20,000 number and everybody starts talking about that number and it will get close to it and then it'll go back down and it'll get close. But then once it kind of breaks through that, you'll see an upturn.
Yeah.
Overall. The market, right? Yeah, no doubt. So we usually use a different measure for the S&P or for the financial markets,
right,
which is the S&P 500. It's 500.
Well, the Dow is such a narrow.
It is. It's only 30 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. You know, it really has minimal reasoning. And I've got a question from a listener this week that I'll address some of this in, but it's different. The Dow is a price weighted index, whereas the S&P 500 is market cap weighted. And if you don't understand what that means, the market cap is basically the price times the number of shares. So it's the actual economic size of the company instead of just the price. I mean, you know, if it was going to be based on price, wouldn't Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway be the absolute overall king? And
right.
I mean, he talks about that openly, why the price of his stock is so high. It's because he never splits.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, a lot of these companies work off of the notion that there's a reasonable price for a stock that an investor can afford. But in reality, does it matter?
It does. I mean, now I'm showing my age, but back long ago, if you bought less than a round lot, which is 100 shares, there used to be a, you know, penalty or a fee to do that.
Right.
Now there's not really that. So it doesn't really matter if you buy 5 shares of a more expensive stock versus 500 shares of a low price stock.
Right, yeah, unless you get to a Berkshire Hathaway size. And then
right.
Maybe your whole portfolio could own one share
right.
of his stock.
That's right.
So it does make a difference there,
yeah.
But otherwise.
But, you look at Apple. Apple was very highly priced, and it had a 7-for-1 split?
It did, yep.
Yeah.
And
brought
it down to a price that more for what was it,
right.
$70
mm-hmm.
or something, I think.
I think it's also just, you know, some of it's mental. You know, I can't afford to buy that. That's
right.
way too expensive.
Right.
It doesn't really.
Yeah. I only make investments in stocks that are $10 or less. Well, how much do you put in? $100. Well, why couldn't you buy one share of $100?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's funny. Some people don't realize that can be actually more expensive than the $100 stock.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
That's a great point, Jared.
Right.
In fact, it's one that I wanted to make. You know what? You know, Dow 20,000. What does that mean? It's just really a price.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You look at that price relative to the earnings, and as I said, earnings actually are what drove the latest news. Has been the earnings, so it drove us above the 20,000. Let's do get into the numbers. S&P 500 year-to-date, just since December 30th, we're up 2.67%. Materials are leading the way, the materials sector at 6.5%. Information technology's done well, 5.6%. That's as of Thursday when we record this show. Consumer discretionaries are up almost 5%. And then on the other end, we got telecom lagging. Energy and utilities all negative. And it's probably because interest rate pressures. You know, there's still quite a bit of news that we probably will not see another interest rate increase until maybe June 2017. The Federal Reserve told us expect three rate increases in 2017. But wouldn't you think with the market doing what it is, it's really the market takes its cues from the economy. Economic news is pretty decent. We'll get into that in a minute. So, you know, the hotter the economy gets, the more you see inflation. We saw CPI at last report was 2.1%, slightly higher than the Fed's target rate of 2%. Of course, the CPI is not exactly what they use. They use the PCE deflator, which is tied to GDP in their reporting. But all things considered, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some higher rates in 2017. After you look at just the year to date, which is less than a month still, you look at last week, market's up 1.11% according to the S&P 500. Materials, which also led the way in the year, not surprising, 3.5% higher this week. Telecom down 2.5%. Basically, these numbers on the weekly side almost match what we've seen year to date, which is only like 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all things considered, we had 148 of the 500 companies in the S&P 500 have reported their fourth quarter fiscal. Well, I guess it's physical because it varies on fiscal, whether or not the company, how they call their end of year. But sales growth, 2.41% for the overall group. Earnings growth, 4.94%. After 148 companies have reported sales surprise 0.39, earnings surprise 3.32%. So we're doing better than analysts had expected, and our growth is 2.4%. Not too bad on the top line, 4.94 on earnings. All pretty good numbers. Looking for weak spots, energy still showing sales growth negative 14.25, earnings growth negative 68.48 relative to this the fourth quarter of this would have been 2015. So still hasn't fully recovered back to where we were then. If you look at the strength, healthcare, which has been more or less the dog it was you know in 2016 anyway. Healthcare has seen sales grow 6.5%. Earnings have grown 18.32%. That's after 13 of 60 companies, about 25% of the total S&P 500 healthcare companies have reported. So kind of gives us a little bit of a backdrop of what we're seeing in the market overall. In the last few days, weeks, Dow 20,000. There's your big news, right?
Mm-hmm. So we're almost a third of the way there with the S&P, as you were just talking about. I mean, it's been mostly positive thus far. Do you think the remaining or the rest of the season stands to do as well? I mean, what's the expectation?
Usually by now, you know, you get that far in, you get kind of the tenor of what you're going to have. I wouldn't expect huge changes from where we are. You're getting a pretty good cross-section of all the industry sectors. Obviously, you're going to have some outliers here and there. It's one of the reasons we say diversify your portfolio. You don't want that specific company risk. Mm-hmm. You know, at least you don't want it to totally rule your portfolio. But all things considered, it looks like we're in for a pretty decent earnings season.
So the positivity thus far is not due to the fact that certain companies from specific sectors have been reporting. It's been pretty diverse.
Right,
you know, with those
widespread. And that's, like I say, healthcare, one of the big leaders. You see materials prices have gone a bit higher. Mm-hmm. One thing that I will touch on before we get into just a few economic indicators, when you see the price, the Dow, If you look at it right now, in its this is the price to earnings ratio, 12-month trailing, so it's backward looking. We're about 21.2% expensive relative to its history. But if you look at the forward PE, which is the its current price divided by earnings expected in a year, we're about 14.18%. So it's not as expensive as it would look, you know, if you're looking backwards. We're expecting economic growth, and I truly believe that we're going to have plenty to talk about in that regard this year, 2017. But if you look at the forward-looking again on the S&P 500, this is rearward-looking, sorry, 22.78. So both are similar. It's about 14%, I think, overpriced if you look at the trailing.
Yeah, so somewhat pricey, but still within reason. It's reasonable. Right now, would you say?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you start hearing these market tops, you shouldn't just absolutely lose your mind and think that it's at a 52-week high. Is it time for me to sell? Well, the price doesn't matter without looking at it relative to something else.
Sure.
We do have a few economic releases, the reports that we didn't get to, and I did want to go back and pick some of those up. This week, existing home sales were announced, and this was from the December month of December. Total sales of existing home sales fell 2.8%, mainly due to a decline in condo and co-op sales. Semi booked a bill. This is a semiconductors orders versus the amount that was shipped and billed increased by 10 basis points or 0.10% in December, 1.06%. Or 1.06 rather, a one would be flat, where the orders are equivalent to the shipments and sales.
What does this ratio really get? I mean, I don't know. This is not something that I see on this all the time.
So semi book to bill. If you've got the higher it is, the more it is above one, obviously the more orders you're taking that you can't quite fill. So you're probably running at capacity, and it's a sign of growth. If it's below one, then obviously it's a sign of contraction.
So it's somewhat of a supply and demand measure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of an early indication of supply and demand in the semiconductor space, which, you know, semiconductors are in every piece of electronics that any of us have. MBA mortgage applications came out on Wednesday. Increased by 4%. This is the fourth week in a row. We had a slowdown around Christmas, which, you know, the holidays are quite often slow. But we're back on track. Refinance index was up 0.2%, so that's much slower than the purchase index, which was 6% higher. And then we had weekly jobless claims, where the four-week moving average fell by 2,000 to 245,500. Very low numbers in unemployment. So most would agree that we're very close to full employment or long-term average, long-run employment. New home sales, we got a number there too, climbed in November, up 5.2% from the revised October totals, and 16.5% from November. This is in December, I guess. Or no, that's 16.5% higher from November 2015. If you look, the median new single-family home price was $305,400, up by 0.9% from October. And it's actually down from the previous November, 3.7%. Interest rates all across the board were a little bit higher. The long end was higher by about twice as much as the short end. And by that, I mean 2.1 basis points, 0.021% on the 2-year to 1.242. 5-year was up 2.7 basis points. The 10-year was up 5.3. And the 30-year was up 6.1 basis points, or 0.061%, to 3.1% total on a 30-year treasury. So looks like interest rates are moving a little bit higher, and
right,
it's pretty much across the board. Curve did steepen slightly, by, you know, 2 to 3 basis points. And if it did that every week, after a minute, you got banks that are loving life. Profitability has significantly increased.
What does the yield curve look like these days? Have you looked at it lately?
This is probably your best indicator. Usually we measure the 2-year treasury versus the 10-year treasury at 1.24% on the 2-year, 2.527%. On the 10-year, we're, 1.3% basically. The spread between the 2 and the 10-year,
right.
It's pretty healthy, and it has been getting a little bit steeper, which...
So that spread is staying consistent, though. It's not starting to contract at all, or is it...
No. We're not seeing any sort of a flattening of the curve is what I think you're talking about.
Yep.
It's always good for banks. Basically, banks borrow short-term, and they lend long-term. The piece that they lend is their profit less the expense, which is that short-term rate. So if you figure, the steeper, the wider the gap between the 2-year and the 10-year treasury,
sure,
the steeper we would call the yield curve. So that's what we've been seeing a little bit. It's been going up across the board, but just a slight steepening as we go. So
so the short-term rates aren't outpacing the long-term. They're not. That's where I was getting at the contraction.
When the short term's higher than the long term, that's what we would call
an inverted
yield curve, and that actually is a horrible sign. Usually a recession follows. We saw that actually happen back in August, I guess, of 2006, and by 2007 the market had topped, but it didn't do it right away. Like I say, that was in August of 2006. We didn't see the market top until October of 2007.
And that's why I was asking, because I know you'd think now with the market's doing really well and things are good, and while there's a lot of differences between now and 2006, if we were starting to see changes there, that's what I was going to bring up, is are we potentially headed somewhere with that starting to happen? Maybe it's not become inverted yet, but we're not starting to see a change in the trend that would indicate at least a movement in that direction.
No, not at all. In fact, I'm glad you bring it up. It's one of the things we watch that very closely. We also watch inventory builds where, companies have built out, produced goods to be sold if they can't get them sold, and you start seeing an increase in inventories, then you start worrying a little bit. Sometimes you'll see an inventory increase, anticipating economic growth, but if it gets too crazy, then we start wondering what's coming next. But to be honest with you, Jarrett, I don't see signs of a recession in the near term for sure. Doesn't mean that something can't happen, but I do say that the market's gotten a little ahead of itself in pricing. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be surprised to me, and this happens quite often, usually about 3 times on average you'll see a 5% decline in the market.
Mm-hmm.
About once a year on average you'll see a 10% decline in the stock market.
And those are expected and they're needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Keep it healthy.
So it's not something that we worry about at all. The economy ultimately makes the difference in what's going on in the stock market, and it looks healthy right now. So all things considered, we're looking all right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with a case study.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.